This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Okay, it's 20 minutes after 2 o'clock on this Power Lunch on Power 98.7. We're just having a giggle about some of the stories that we're hearing when it comes to having a financial slump. Because sometimes, truly, if you don't laugh, you're just going to cry. You're just going to end up weeping. And this is a very big challenge that we're seeing more and more in modern South Africa, in modern life, right? One of the prominent challenges during a financial slump is the struggle to meet financial obligations. As income dwindles or becomes insufficient, individuals may find it increasingly difficult to even pay their bills, their mortgages, or rent on time, often leading to late payment fees and eviction notices. And that's when you get that mounting pressure that it just is not getting better. How do you get yourself from under that mountain of debt and of loss? So let's talk about recovering from a personal financial slump with certified financial coach Gerald Mwandiambira, who's on the line with us. And you can call in as well on 0861 987 000. Gerald, it's good to talk to you. Welcome.
Yes, always a pleasure to talk to you. Good afternoon to all your listeners.
So, I mean, we're talking about all of the different types of challenges that can lead to a financial slump. And I wonder if using the terminology financial slump is even the correct terminology, right? I mean, we're talking about being in a position where you no longer can handle life from a financial point of view. Gerald?
Oh, definitely. I think, you know, what you have is a situation that sometimes life happens and you either lose your job or you're simply not earning as much as you did before. Mm. Or right now, for most people, it's not even that. The cost of living has gone up more than you anticipated. Mm. Your bond has gone up by 23% in the last year, and your personal loans have also gone up. So it's not necessarily that it's anything of your own doing, yes, but simply life is getting ahead of you. So you're now in a situation where you need to make some tough decisions. Because if you do not make those decisions, life is going to drag you down. And as you said, you will end up in that financial slump.
Mm, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, some of the highlights that you've observed to be the effects of being in a financial slump. Gerald?
Well, the main thing with the financial slump is that most people start to experience anxiety at the end of the month. So the first sign of a financial slump is that month end is no longer fun. Month end is that time you dread. It's that time you just want to get it over and done with. So you start getting very anxious about paying your bills. And when you are paying your bills, it's almost an eeny, meeny, money, moe situation where, you know, you're choosing who you're paying this month so that they can not bother you next month. And you have a rotational system of paying your bills. Mm. But not everyone gets paid in the same month. And those are all some of the classic signs which would show that you are experiencing that financial slump.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when you talk about anxiety, it makes me think that this becomes so much more than just, you know, doing the maths, right? It can cause mental health issues in a very big way.
Look, if you do not identify it as a mental issue, you just change. You know, people get angry. I've heard of situations where you take it out on your children, you take it out on your spouse, on your partner, on your friends. And if you're not taking it out or in terms of lashing out, you start to internalize it and maybe take up some sort of addiction. So you maybe end up being addicted to drugs or alcohol, just as a coping mechanism so that, you know, you can just cope and survive. So you have a lot of people who are what they call functional alcoholics because of financial issues, where they function normally in society, but they are drunk. Literally, you can tell this person is drunk, but they're doing their job. They seem normal, but they are not functioning in terms of not being under the influence. They have to always have a drink at work or wherever they are. And that's where society is right now. And it's important that we have these discussions so people identify that when I'm in a financial slump, The things you need to do is you need to start cutting off stuff. You can't seem to keep on coping, because the longer you deny the existence of that problem, the higher risk you expose yourself to. And if you have a family, you expose a lot of innocent individuals to that as well.
So it's very important then, I suppose, to do as much as you can to prevent this happening. Even though we have spoken about there's so many elements that you can't almost prepare for, right? But say you want to be as prepared as you possibly can, Gerald, what would you say all of the work is to do prior?
Look, I think it's all about communication. You need to communicate with the contracts you have in force and explain that you no longer can manage some of the installments and repayments. And in many instances, you'll be pleasantly surprised that the people you owe are willing to listen to you and give you some sort of grace period or reduction in your payments, so that you can either try and find additional income or you can actually cope better with what you owe. So the main thing is start communicating. The moment you see those red lights or red flags, month end where you're not coping with all your bills, you need to call them and say, look, guys, I can only pay X amount. And to get to that X amount, that's where you need to talk to a financial planning professional who can at least then say, okay, let's negotiate with all the people you owe that from now on can only do 75% of all your bills. And it carries more weight or gravitas if you've actually engaged the financial planner, and they can write a letter of recommendation to say, look, I am working with this person. And that makes the people you owe a lot more comfortable, because they can see that you're being responsible and accountable to the money you owe. Hence, that's where, you know, the use of some of these professionals comes in. If you're really in a rut and you're really struggling, your financial planning professional can then recommend you for something like debt counseling or debt review, which also does effectively the same thing and allows you to get some sort of protection from losing your home or your car or the things which you need to actually work. But the main thing is communication. Don't leave it until you've missed six payments to say, oh, by the way, can I go under debt review? Or you've missed six payments to say, okay, let me see a financial planning professional. Maybe they can help you. Because at that point, it's very difficult to come up with any solution which your creditors will accept, because they'll say, you've been quiet for 6 months. You haven't said anything. Why should we listen to you now?
Okay, so having the assistance of a professional is always very important. We keep hearing different things about debt review, about, you know, even declaring insolvency and things of that nature, right? About the lasting effects, even once you're able to pay your debts again. So let's talk about the pros and the cons, and then maybe some of the process of going through that, Gerald.
Look, when you're financially distressed, you need to speak to your financial planning professional. And normally what they will try to do is do a bit of financial coaching, where they look at the numbers, see which debt has got the most interest, and try and coach you into an environment where you pay this, pay that, kill this one, then you'll have more money next month to pay that one and that one. And normally with a financial planning professional who coaches you, you can cope with what you have just by having the skill of being able to balance it all out and make it work in your favor. Having them vouch for you is also an added bonus. However, sometimes you're in a situation where your debts are simply much more than what you owe. And then in that situation, you want to go into the debt counseling environment, where some financial planners are also debt counselors, but sometimes they're not. They'll refer you to a reputable, here's the key word, reputable debt counselor or a debt expert who can then help you to renegotiate your payments. The problem right now is that the debt counseling environment is inundated with people who need help. So what's happening is a lot of these debt counselors, who by law should sit down with you on a one-on-one basis, actually then say, no, I'm setting up Gerald Debt Counseling. And Gerald has got a call center with 20 people who are not Gerald, but they're using my license to talk to people and put them under debt review. And that's where the problem is, because under the National Credit Act and under the National Credit Regulator, the debt counselor must sit with you. The one who's holding the license must be the person who counsels you and actually gets you onto debt review. But what's happening is a big scam where these guys have set up call centers because they've realized that there's 400 people who need debt counseling. Mm. And unfortunately, there's only one of me. So what they're doing is they are literally farming out their license to a call center, which they own, and unqualified people are putting people under debt review. And that's where you get the horror stories, where someone tells you, I had no idea what I did because it was not explained to me. But that poor call center person is just a young person who wanted a job and was told, call people, ask them if they want to reduce payments. If they say yes, put them on debt review.
Sure.
Meanwhile,
Gerald, that's frightening. Absolutely. So let's find out how it should be done, how to ensure that you are dealing with a reputable debt counseling organization or counselor, and some other issues around recovering from a personal financial slump. As we find out now what's happening in the very latest Power headlines, the lines are open, 0861 987 000. You can also WhatsApp on 0833037093. Perhaps that is your story right now, and you're dealing with the anxiety of those phone calls that keep coming in, that you are under so much debt and you're just not sure how to climb your way out of this very challenging situation. Let's talk about it. Gerald Mwambadira is here as our financial coach who perhaps can give you a little bit of insight into what you can do next. It's 2:30.
Speak up. Call the Power Line on 0861 987 000.
That indeed is how you can get hold of us as we continue talking about recovery from a financial slump. 0861 987 000. On the line with us, we have certified financial coach Gerald Mwandiambira. And we are so far covered the mental health support aspect of what happens to one when one is in a financial slump. And then we touched on the kind of help and support you need in terms of things like debt counseling, Gerald. And you're painting a little bit of a scary picture of people who are not reputable in that debt counseling world. And so my question to you is, how then do you identify who is reputable and who can assist you in the way that you need?
Okay, now the first thing I would recommend is, if you are considering the debt counseling or debt review route, you need to request a one-on-one with the person who's counseling you. And normally the National Credit Regulator issues them with certificates which show that they've set an exam and they've passed that exam, which allows them to do that counseling work. Mm. Now, that will give you a measure of comfort, because the person you're sitting next to should be the person whose name appears on that certificate. What tends to happen when you do it over the phone is you're not talking to that person.
Oh, Gerald's lines just cut out. We'll see if we can get Gerald back. But that's a very interesting point, to ensure that you are dealing with somebody who is credited in the accreditation, to ensure that you're dealing with somebody who can do the absolute right things. I think that that's very, very important. Gerald is back with us. Gerald, are you there?
I'm here, yeah.
Perfect. Are you driving, sir?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Yeah, it's just strange with connectivity at the moment. It's very frustrating. But here we are. I'm glad to have you back.
Okay.
So you're saying have the one-on-one and ensure that you see that this person is the accredited person.
Definitely. Make sure that the person you're talking to, the name on the certificate, okay?
Yeah.
Don't agree to anything ever on the phone, because on the phone, they are simply often representing the person who actually did the exam. But that person has not been trained and is not fully qualified to give you any debt counseling advice.
Mm.
Literally, they're gathering information, and often that's where the problems arise.
Mm.
The whole process of debt counseling is mandated by the courts. So a court order is issued, and that's where people have problems after going on debt review, when they realize that no one told them that it's a court order, you need an attorney to get out of it, and all sorts of paperwork, which may end up costing you a lot more. But number one, if you're considering debt counseling, do it under someone who is registered under the NCR. You can go under onto their website, check their certificate, and you can see that there's very few people who are actually registered as debt counselors.
Wow.
Compared to the number of people going around offering the service.
Let's speak to Madimeja, who's on the line with us. Welcome to Power Lunch, Madimeja.
Hi, Bobby. How are you?
Good, thank you. So you were a victim of this fake debt review.
Yeah, I was a victim last year on the 28th of February.
What happened?
There was a guy, there was a colored guy who called me. And then he said they're helping the people to reduce the interest that they're paying from whatever they owe. And then because I had a problem at that time, and then I said to them, okay, what is there for you? You can't just call me to say that you're helping people. Mm. What is there for you? That what are you going to get? And then he said to me that they only going to take two payments from me, and then from there I will be paying them the people that I owe. And then I said to them, okay, are you going to put me under debt review? And then the guy says no. And then later on he said, okay, someone is going to call you, and then he's going to take over from whatever I did now. Mm. And then he's going to take over, and then you'll deal with him. And then the 10 minutes later, the other guy called, say, yeah, you spoke to so-and-so, and then now I'm taking over from him. And then what cell phone are you using? Do you have the app with on your cell phone with a bank? And then I said, yes. And then he said, press what? This and that, and then press this and that, and then press accept. And then I only realized that the minute I put accept, and then there was 8,000 that is going to come out of my salary, saying that they want to pay that. Because he said to me, currently you're paying almost 11,000 on your debt, and then we're going to reduce it to 8,000. I said, okay, that will be fine. And then he said, press this and that on the phone, and then I pressed that, and then he said, press accept, and then that said, 8,000 rand is going to come out. And then I realized that, this guy, it's not what I actually agreed with him upon.
Yeah.
And then I tried to call them back, and then they couldn't take my call.
Yeah.
I went to the bank. I said, I spoke to the people who actually, they deceived me, because this is not what I actually agreed upon.
Yeah.
And then the bank, can you help me? Then they said, the lady was also rude at the bank and said to me, okay, if you accept it on the phone, that means there's nothing that we can do.
Then
later on, I keep on phoning them, and then I demand the manager of that company. And then the manager says to me, okay, you agreed if we cancel this, because I said to them, you're going to cancel this thing here and there. I'm not going to allow you to take money from my account. And then she said to me that I need a lawyer and then all that.
Sure. All right. So it sounds like you were thoroughly scammed, Madimeja.
Yeah, I was scammed. But I did. Luckily, I fought with them. I said to that lady, the manager, I said to her, go and listen to that recording, and then you'll hear that this guy actually deceived me.
Yeah, he sold you
lies.
He
lured me into his trap. So, luckily, I fought them. It took almost 6 months before they can actually cancel it. But eventually, they did cancel it.
But cancel it meaning, did you get your money back?
No, they didn't deduct, because I did change my bank immediately.
Oh, so they were going to do an ongoing recurring deduction from you. Oh, you got to stop that at the very least. Madimeja in Germiston, thank you very much for sharing your story. I mean, Gerald, yes, there's a debt review element, but it's more the fake scamming of it in that story that you've just heard from Madimeja, right?
Well, definitely. I think that's one of the elements, because often what happens that you give them consent to pay your creditors on your behalf, and often they don't. They will take that 8,000 But after 3 months, the people you thought you were paying are saying you haven't paid a cent for the last 3 months. And it's a nightmare to get back and unravel the whole situation. Mm. In some instances, I've heard of scenarios where, you know, you now have debt review flag on your name, which means that you can't get credit. And to remove that debt review marker, you need to contact all the credit bureaus and you need to go to the court and go in front of a magistrate to show them that you can afford your lifestyle again. And it takes a lot of money to go through an attorney to remove that court order, which you voluntarily did just by making a phone call and saying, yes, I need help. And these are the classic examples of what's been going on in the industry. And unfortunately, it's given the reputable debt counselors a bad name because this is happening every single day. And, you know, this is not the first or the last caller we'll hear saying that they thought they were getting something which they didn't get.
Yeah. I'm so sorry that happened to you, Malimeja. And I know that feeling of losing money. And every single time you think of that moment where you pressed accept or you pressed pay now, you know, you kind of go into a cold sweat thinking if you had done something different, you wouldn't be in this position. Thank you very much for your call. I think this is Aubrey, who's on the line from Vereeniging. Hi, Orbs.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
All right. Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, thanks. Look, I heard Jared saying something like, you need to sit one-on-one with the person who will be doing the review with you.
Yes.
So my question is, what if you called the company yourself, perhaps, I guess you'll be going through your Google, yeah? Trying to get a company that can help you out of the quagmire you are in.
Okay.
And then you find a company and then you call them, they call you back, and then everything is done via the phone. How credible that is.
So now you're not getting a cold call from somebody offering the service. You've done the research, you've selected a company, and you're calling them. How do you then authenticate them, Gerald? Yeah, perfect, Aubrey. We got your question. Gerald?
Well, they should be able to send you an electronic copy of their registration with the National Credit Regulator. On that registration, it will show if that person is the registered debt counselor for that company, okay? And if that person is bona fide, they should have no problem sending you that information, including an ID copy or some sort of identification that you are dealing with them. Then at least you will have a measure of comfort to continue electronically or via the phone. Just like if a client wants to see my registration credentials, I have to send them. I can't say, no, it's me. you must believe it's me. So you need to go through that process of due diligence. Because if you don't, you will end up talking to someone who will be here today, gone tomorrow, and you will have, one, a legal bill on your hands, and secondly, you will now be in a worse situation. Remember, our topic is you're in a financial slump.
Yes.
You need help. You need someone to just give you a heads up in terms of making the right financial decisions. Sometimes somebody who can act as your personal advocate to talking to the big, scary banks and the people you owe.
Mm.
And at least a financial planning professional is adept and is trained to represent you. That's what financial planning professionals do, who are certified financial planners. They're your advocates. They stand for you in front of the big, scary people who know about money because they can also negotiate on your behalf.
Mm-hmm. There we go, Aubrey. I hope that answered your question. 0861-987-000, that is the number that you can dial. And of course, scammers and crooks are always looking for an easy victim, right, Gerald? I mean, and what more easy victim exists than somebody who is panicked, anxious, depressed, overwhelmed by their financial situation?
Most definitely. I mean, finances are intimidating. I mean, no one is a master of money. And at the end of the day, if you don't have enough, you really want help. And the help you want is from someone who's just going to stand for you, hold your hand, and sometimes just help you to accept the fact that you've made some bad decisions.
Mm.
Sometimes you need to go through the process of we need to end certain relationships financially and end certain contracts so that you can survive, because you can't keep fighting against the grain. But definitely, when you are in that financial slump, you're feeling anxious month end. You're now maybe thinking of drinking a little bit more, avoiding your friends. You're not going out anymore. You know, all those are the classic symptoms of someone who's financially distressed. And sometimes even by letting go of certain things, it might seem like the end of the world when you give them back your car.
Yes.
So that you can save your home. But in a few months, in a year or two, you will realize that decision was actually necessary for you to pick yourself back up and often get into a better financial situation than you were when you were in the slump.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the downgrading. It became a very big topic of conversation during the pandemic, right, Gerald? And let's talk about the things to start with. I know that the car is probably one of the easiest ones to sell off and get rid of or downgrade in order to help yourself financially.
Well, definitely there's the car. That's a huge expense for most people. If you're in a two-car household, maybe it means give up one, keep the other. Or maybe you've got one that's paid up, and this one on finances gobbling up your money. Maybe get rid of that or find a way of letting that go. Another expense, which is often very big, is education. You know, the private school has been fighting with you every month about school fees. Maybe you need to find a good state school in the area, which you can actually afford and can help you in terms of managing your expenses. So all those things are necessary so that you can basically manage your finances a little bit better. So car, education, that's normally very big. And the other expenses is your personal loans and credit cards. And those, in order to manage those, you need to be in a situation where you essentially negotiate with those you owe towards getting a reduction in those payments, if possible. And in some instances, you get a situation where you're allowed to consolidate that debt.
Okay, and that's different to debt counseling.
It's very different to debt counseling because you're talking to someone who's actually going to be your advocate and going to coach you or nurse you back into financial health.
All right. 0861-987-000. Solly's called in from Leondale. Hi, Solly.
Hi, Papi and your guest. I just want to ask your guest, man. I'm not sure if it is relevant to him. These days when you borrow the money from the banks or from whoever, that is the formal institution, there is a question that they ask you that you related to the politician or the public figure. Now, I've asked the transferring attorneys of my bond. They also can't tell me the significance of that question. Does he know? Because of according to me, if you borrow money from whoever, that should not be significant if you are related to the politician or the public figure.
So help me understand, you're trying to get a loan or something funded, and that's one of the questions in the application?
Yes.
Whether you're related to a politician or a public figure. Very interesting. I've never heard of that before. Gerald, have you come across this?
Yes. Basically, under the, you know, FICA Act, Financial Intelligence Center Act, basically they're trying to prevent money laundering. So it's normally a question that's now very standard in all financial contracts, which is, are you related to or associated with a politically exposed person? Because a lot of the time when politically exposed people launder money, for example, from a tender or whatever, they'll use relatives and family. So what you do by answering that question is you're simply saying, I know this person, so that if one day a large amount suddenly pops up, 40 million in your account, you need to go and explain how you got it. But that question alone should not prevent you from actually getting your finances. It's simply a question that's designed to stop money laundering by state officials and public figures who have access to public funds.
But now, can't you just lie on that form? How do they verify what you're telling is the truth?
Well, they they don't verify that it's the truth, but the lie in itself is going to cause you a problem one day when you do receive a legitimate amount and it is established that you have political exposure or a relative who's in politics when they're doing the money trail. If you lie, then you are now part of the crime as well.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. But you're saying that shouldn't prevent you from
No, it won't prevent you. What it does is if you say yes, all they will do is that when there's large amounts or large transactions happening in your name, they will scrutinize them a little bit further.
Yeah.
And even, yes, you are borrowing money, but maybe you want to borrow 4 million rand. And you say, yes, I'm related to a politically exposed person. And next month you're paying off the entire loan in full. How did you manage to raise 4 million rand in 1 month? That's the reason that question is there, so that at least, you can catch money laundering that way. Because sometimes that's how money laundering is done.
Absolutely.
You take out a loan, which you pay off very quickly with dirty money.
Sihle is in Mamelodi, who's called in. Hi, Sihle.
Hi, Papi, how are you?
Very well, and you?
Thank you so much for this topic, because my husband and I are actually in the process. We just want to know, what are the legit... is there a list of like legit debt counselors that are registered under NCR?
So your call has been placed on hold.
Oh man.
Please wait.
Oh, that's Gerald. Okay, I don't know what's going on there. Sihle, you said you are in the process of what, my dear? Debt review?
Yes.
Okay.
With my debt hero.
Okay. And you
yes,
want to
and
see...
I want to know if they're legit, because it's quite scary, honestly, to go through the process, because with us, when they approach us, it's not that we're struggling to pay, but the way they actually, marketed themselves to us, they told us that they would help us reduce the debt. So now, the things that they're telling us, that no, if we want to cancel with them, we must go through the lawyer. We're not even sure if they're legit. So if there's anything helpful that you can give us a list on, if they're legit or not.
All right, we've got Gerald back on the line. Gerald, I'm not sure what happened there or how much of Sihle's story you heard, but Sihle and her husband are currently under debt review. And Sihle, if I understand correctly, you've signed off, you've agreed to the contract, you're in the contract.
Correct.
Yeah. And Sihle would like to know, Gerald, is there any way of verifying who she's in contract with is legit? Because now they're saying things like, to get out of the contract, they're going to need lawyers, they're going to need specialist advice.
Look, if it's a debt review counseling arrangement, just go onto the National Credit Regulator, the NCR website, and essentially they can assist you in terms of identifying if your counterparty is bona fide. If you're dealing with a financial professional, financial planner, or financial advisor, you can go onto the FSCA, the Financial Sector Conduct Authority website, and then also check the credentials there of the company as well as of the individual.
And Sihle, it sounds like you want to get out of the contract. Are you interested in getting out of it?
So, not necessarily. Mm-hmm. We just want to know if they're legit. Because now we're just worried if we're actually dealing with the proper debt counselors, So, we need help. We need advice. So, this is really helpful. So, can you just please re-mention the website that you said we can go?
Yeah, sure.
So, if it's something to do with you going under debt counseling or debt review, then you need to essentially go to the National Credit Regulator, NCR, website. National Credit Regulator, if you Google them, and you contact them on one of their call centers, numbers, you can ask your counterparty to give you their registration details and verify. If you're dealing with a financial advisor or financial planner around financial planning affairs, buying an insurance policy, or something along those lines, you can go on to the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, that's the FSCA website, Financial Sector Conduct Authority, and you can ask them to give you their FSP number, which is the Financial Service Provider number, and you can verify both the company as well as the individual. When you are entering into any of these contracts, be it on the phone or in person, always ensure that you take the person's first name as well as their last name, and if possible, their ID number as well, so that in case of a situation mm-hmm. where, like now, you want to verify,
yeah.
and mm-hmm. sometimes you end up with just the first name.
Sure.
All the way to their ID number. That's very helpful. Important, yeah.
Thank you so much.
All the best to you, Sihle. All the best to you. We've got a voice note that's come in. I wonder, do we have a bit of time to squeeze it in? Let's have a quick listen to the voice note on 0833037093.
Hi, Bobby. It's Bongani from Pretoria. Yo, the issue of debt is such a sensitive one for me because I've been in debt in my life. I don't know how many credit cards I maxed. But I always say, for me, and it's not an excuse, it was a reflection of my emotional state at the time. And I was just, you know, buying just to try and get some comfort and to heal some wounds. So until you understand why you spend the way you spend, you will not be okay. And another thing that I've learned to do, I have three girls, is just to buy clothes on lay-by, buy cash, you know, for the next season, just to try and save money. But yeah, debts can kill you. But I've come out. I was lucky to get a chunk of money, and I made a decision to say, this is the last time I'm praying about this. I'm actually going to do something about it, paid off my debt, and I've been free for a couple of years now, and still dealing with, you know, emotional issues so that I don't relapse, because you really do need to deal with the issues that you know, drew you into debt in the first place.
What an incredible voice note. And I'm so glad that we're ending there, Gerald, on a positive note, right? That recovery is possible through a variety of means.
Just because you're down today doesn't mean you're down forever. But accountability and acceptance is the first step to healing.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Certified financial coach Gerald Mwandiambira on the line with us, talking about recovering from a personal financial slump.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.